Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 19th, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, make this choice tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Please, I get some. We have two phones. When you call either one of them, don't just hang up. So many people, especially on my cell phone, they call and you just hear blank air. You know, they don't leave a message, and so I can't call you back if you don't leave your number. So please leave your number. And also, you know, right now, I said it before, but a lot of times we get, a lot of the, marketing calls or whatever to your phone. And so, you know, after about three or four of them in a row, I might ignore a call. So that's why it's important to leave a message, or even because it's my cell phone, leave me a text message. Excuse me. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, all these different things at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally on YouTube and on some FM stations, so please pray about supporting airtime. Now, on another note, let's thank our listener base that's worldwide in places like New Delhi, India. You can't even pronounce that one. Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Paris, France, Vancouver, Canada, and of course, good old cities in where?
New York, Kansas City, Missouri, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Cleveland, Ohio, Dallas, Texas.
As well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of our listeners, at least to our radio programs when they go to podcast later on tonight. Also follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, folks, we're supposed to have my wife on every other week, but there were 5 weeks in the month. But anyway, she's back with us tonight. Say hello to the people.
Hello.
That's it?
How are you doing?
Good to be back. Why do you look at me when you say hello? How are you doing? The microphone's over there.
So you want me to look at the mic?
Well, it's okay. Whatever you do. The mic don't talk back. Are you insinuating I talk back?
All the time.
You shouldn't listen to her, folks. At all. I don't know why I have her on here. It just really doesn't make a lot of sense. Anyway, we're going to talk about people today, and we will be talking about the Mission Church after a while. But first off, let's start with this thing, and this will kind of set the stage. Remember, it's an end-time radio program. 2 Timothy 3, starting with 3, says this. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breaking, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses that lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with different lusts, ever learning and never being able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, in society, you can, people are, let's talk about the way that people are. Do you think that in general society, how do you think general society, the way people act, link up to, say, 20 years ago? Do you think there's a difference to the further back that you go?
Yeah, definitely. There was more moral values and respect, love, family, stick together. All that was a lot different 20 years ago. There was hardly any of that. It's still around, don't get me wrong, but very rare.
Very rare. You know, without part of this, you see, this was a description of what it would be back in the last day. And, you know, it talks about, it says men, and, you know, when it says men, it should mean mankind, you know what
right,
I'm saying.
Right.
But men shall be lovers of their own self. We'll just kind of go through, and lovers of their own self. That means, have you ever seen such a time? You know, when I was younger, you know, it seemed like, you know, people cared about other things and you considered other people. But now, what do people consider?
Their self. If there's nothing in it for them, they don't want nothing to do with it, for the most part.
Right, right, right. And, you know, that's part of what makes it so hard for the ministry that we're in, you know. Now, you know, and folks, we're pointing to the Wichita Mission Church. Now, you know, used to be people, you know, you would care about it. If you care about other people, then, you know, that's what we do. We care about other people. We worry about them. We feed, clothe them, and such. But not everybody can do that or, you know, has a temperament to be around homeless and poor. But they should support the people that do it. And actually, the Bible is real, real pretty specific. It's actually in the Torah. That's what we're supposed to do. When it says when the brother falls down, we're supposed to lift him up, to put him back into that place that he was at so he's not injured by, you know, the loss of things. Clearly, we're not going by a core of the society. But my point is people care more about themselves. You know, well, why do I want to help them on poor people when, you know, there's, like you said, there's nothing in it for them.
But, well, the Bible's just coming to life. It says there'll be a falling away, and that's what's happening. There's a falling away from the Lord. That's what it means. People will fall away. They'll start turning against their own families and mothers and fathers and daughters and children. You know, they'll turn against each other, and that's exactly what's happening.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, it says it right here. You know, so it says lovers of their own selves, they're covetous. That's the same thing, warning just for herself. Boasters, bragging about everything that they do, even when they don't do it. You know, now you even run across something like this from a relative recently. You don't have to tell the situation, but, you know, they claim they did something and they didn't do it. That
mm-hmm.
you did, but they were boasting of something that was totally false.
Right.
You know. And
can be proven false easily.
Yeah, absolutely. And then so that also because they have a proud spirit, you know, they want to be proud and high-minded, not that happy that somebody actually accomplished the goal, but instead because they were envious because they didn't do it and they wanted to be proud about it. Blasphemers, well, you know, blasphemy is out there predominantly, you know, people talking about God doing it or just the things that they say and claim that are of God, you know, are craziness. disobedient to parents. What do you think about that one?
Ooh, that's a big one. That's really come to life, hasn't it?
Yes. And how so? I mean, you know, I mean, we've got our boys all live close to us, and they're pretty respectful of us, you know. And so I'm not placing this at feet at my own children. But, you know, I see this in children, and especially younger children right now. You know, it seems like all these little kids that are being born are almost, not all of them, but a lot of them are so demonic-like. I mean, you know, they tell their parents off and
talk back to them, tell their parents what to do.
Really? Well, you know, Frank and I actually are going to do a program later today that's going to talk about that very thing, about women ruling over men and about children being oppressors to their parents. You know?
Right.
What do you see in that? That sounds like something you know a little bit about.
I see a lot of children not being brought up and taught the right way is what I see.
Right.
But it's not just all of a sudden thing. It's been gradually taking place generation after generation, year after year. It gets worse and worse and worse. It's just finally catching up with us.
Because it's catching up with us. So now this is a thing that's been coming on. I get what you're saying. So where are the kids being educated from if they're not being educated? They're not clearly being educated for God. I mean, our children never screamed at us like that.
Most of the problem is one-parent families, no fathers in the families to hold authority and teach the Word of God. That's the main thing, is they took God out of the picture. They took prayer out of the school. That was the beginning of trouble right there, prayer out of school. Then they try to get rid of the Ten Commandments. They're just trying to get rid of God completely. That's the problem.
Okay, scoot your chair up a little bit. I think you need to get a little closer to the microphone. Okay, well, let's go with this. Now, I'm not condemning. Now, listen, I know that we're in an age and people break up and they're horrendous things, and women and sometimes men end up raising children by themselves. But here's the kicker on it. So what should, if a woman is by herself with children, even if she doesn't have relatives that are godly, so shouldn't she be involved with something?
A church.
A church, right. Church gives you family. Church is family.
Right.
And so then if a woman is involved with church, and she goes there with an open mind, the church will help them raise their children.
Right. It gets support. And when you have support and know that somebody's behind you, backing you up, you tend to be a little bit stronger, and then you can stand up, you know, for what's right better because you're being taught what's right. So if you're being taught what's right, like it says, what you put in is what you get out.
Right. Well, and, you know, too, we in society, we also have to be thankful, too, because, you know, thankful, not thankful for, because I believe that they're part of the problem is teaching, you know, don't spank their little butts and, you know, don't punish them and so on and so forth. You know, what do you think about that?
I think that's in the Word, too. It says something about spare the rod, spoil the child. Doesn't that mean if you don't discipline your children, then they're going to be spoiled and rotten and lose respect and morals and all that? Doesn't it all fall in line together?
What it says, if people missay this, but I'll tell you what it says. It says, if you spare the rod, you hate your child.
Right. So, in other words, discipline your child and teach them what's wrong and what's right.
If you love them, because if you discipline, if you teach them what's wrong and right, then they're less likely to go out and be disrespectful to others or you, but they're less likely, you're supposed to, it's your responsibility as a parent to try your best. It doesn't always work, but to try your best to give the world a person that's going to be respectful of others and is going to be a decent human being. If you create a monster, that is at your feet.
Well, and that's not totally, completely. And,
I said,
and I don't believe it's all on the parents because nowadays, if you spank your child, you can be jailed for child abuse. They don't allow you to spank your children anymore.
As long as you don't leave marks or welts.
No, they don't allow you to hit any way, shape, or form, not even on the rear ear.
Actually, in the state of the law in the state of Kansas allows you to use your open hand on their butt. As long as it's not their bare butt, that is allowed in law in the state of Kansas. That doesn't mean that they don't twist it. Teachers and the authorities try to twist it and make it sound like that you're beating your kid. It is allowed by law in the state of Kansas. But let's go backwards to this. And I did say, I did absolutely say, it's not the complete fault of the parent. Because some parents try all their best, and people still end up being even serial killers. But it is your obligation to try your best. So here we have it. If we start going back generational wise, you know, let's see what happens. So people were crying about the snowflakes, you know, and you know what that means, right? Snowflake kids, huh?
Liberals.
Liberal children, but even since the children aren't really liberal, there's a snowflake. They have to go get if you say something wrong to them, they got to go run in their bedroom. You got to give them a cookie and a stuffed animal.
I didn't know they called them snowflakes. I just thought they called them spoiled rotten kids.
Well, they're crushed. But well, that could be spoiled rotten. But this is beyond being spoiled. This isn't even being spoiled. Teaching children that if they actually, liberalism teaches children to, that they need to get their own way. If anything else, they need to shut their ears off to it, and it's hurtful to them. Okay, so that's what's being taught in the coastal cities more, the liberal cities, than it is like here in Kansas, but it is seeped in. Here's the point. So, it's not the snowflakes that are at fault, the children. It's the parents that didn't teach them, and it's the parents. And so why didn't that parent teach them? Because why?
They weren't taught.
They weren't taught. So now it's going backwards. So
it's slowly, gradually catching up with us.
It's slowly, gradually catching up, and it goes clear back. We can lay this at the doorstep of the church. The church, it goes back to the same thing, and we've said it on this program, been saying it for years and years, and I've had others that back me up to say the same thing. When the church became silent, when they accepted the 501(c) through the Johnson Amendment and said they would no longer talk political, and so they wouldn't speak out against all the issues that they used to speak out about, the things that were evil. They used to speak out about things that were evil. I mean, you know, politicians were scared to death of the church if they did something wrong. If they got caught in adultery, their career was over with completely. Or if they got caught lying, believe it or not, politicians get caught lying, not really. Anyway, but there was a time that they were supposed to be the most honest people there was and stand for the goodest example. That's what they were supposed to do, not meaning that they weren't. But the church was like would just immediately jump on them if they didn't and talk about it.
It actually did a 180 because now it's the opposite way. The government jumps on the church if the church does anything or says anything. So it's the government behind it.
Well, absolutely. And the whole concept, here's what's the concept. That behind the Johnson Amendment, you know, I call it the Johnson Amendment. You know why I call it Johnson Amendment?
No.
You know, we had a president that...
President Johnson.
Johnson. Okay. When he was a senator in Texas, he was running for... He was getting ready to run for re-election. And you should look up about this guy. He was a womanizer and a party hound and everything. And the church was on him in Texas. They were on him. And he just didn't like that. And so that was what was behind this amendment that he did to a bill that was the Johnson Amendment to allow the church the number and everything. But they had to refrain from political speech.
Right.
So they couldn't go after him. And so that was the reason it was, to control speech, because the church, historically before that, the church is what made America great in politics. That's what gave us the best leaders. Because they spoke out against the things that were wrong. And that goes clear back to even Paul Revere, the guy that rode around on a horse. He was actually, you don't hear it that history book, but he was actually a pastor also.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, and also, did you know that the first, when the Capitol was first built, they had church service in there every week. You know, that they held church in the Capitol building. You know, it was also a church.
Well, it's my understanding that our wonderful Mr. Trump has first service for men in the White House.
For men, for all of his
for workers. Everyone? I thought it was a man's purse.
No, but it's for everybody that works there.
Awesome.
You know? Yeah. Amen. So anyway, so by kicking God out of things, then you're seeing the fruit of that is these different things that we're talking about today in these scriptures in Timothy. Well, folks, WichitaHomeless.com is the website for the Wichita Mission Church. And, of course, ProphecyHour.com, you can go over there and check us out. And, again, I'm on today with my wife, Linda. She don't like me to call her Linda anymore. It's Mom, you know. So if I slip up and say my mom, I don't mean my mom. My mom's passed away. This woman sitting next to me is...
You don't say my mom, you just say mom.
You miss up. I actually say, I'll be talking to somebody and I'll say, well, my mom.
Oh, no.
And I go, oh, no. We're talking about my wife. Anyway, folks, we'll be back perfectly in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And, okay, I don't need to do the date again. Everybody knows it's the 19th. And I happen to be here with my wife. We were just discussing on what to call her. My wife's name is Linda, but she prefers everybody calls her Mom, including me. So if I ever slip up, folks, like I said before break, and say, well, my mom is in the grave. I'm talking about this one sitting next to me. Okay, we were talking about the way people are nowadays in the last days, and we were using an example found in 2 Timothy, starting with chapter 3. And we were on the sentence, we didn't get a whole long ways with it, we're on this sentence that says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covenant boasters, proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. I think we got to disobedient of parents, but let's go with the unthankful. You know, you people nowadays, they act like they appreciate things when you do something for them.
Some do, but there's a few, and most do, really, but there's a few that have the attitude that it's owed to them.
That it's owed to them. Well, and, you know, while some will have the real, what is a real test of thankfulness?
When people will see you struggling and just say, hey, you need some help, and jump up and help you, or they'll come and say, thank you for everything, I appreciate it, or, you know,
okay.
Show that they appreciate what you did to help them.
Attitude. I want to dwell on what you said there. You said their willingness to come and help you.
Right.
You know, help with people should not, you know, there's another place in the scriptures where it says, you know, love keeps no record of wrongs. Well, you know, the way it all balances out is you know, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, that is the golden rule. If you do this, you'll be well. But the point is that the willingness back to help you, to have concern, you had concern for them and you helped them, and then in turn you can tell if they appreciate it is by the way that they treat you when you're in trouble.
Seeing that you're doing all that you can do to help them, they're willing to do all that they can do to help you in return.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. And that's what love is real emotion and real affection. See, there's the point. Because the next line that comes up, it says, without natural affection, people don't have natural affection towards each other. It goes back to the first one that said that they were only worried about themselves. You know, it seems like it all keeps coming back to this, how they care more about themselves, you know, like without natural affection, truce breakers, you know, that means they don't keep their word.
Right.
You know, yeah, how many people keep their word nowadays?
Oh, I hate to put a percent on it, but I give up on people saying I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that because for the most part, they say they're going to do it, never comes to pass. So I made myself where if it's not manifest right before me, okay, thank you, God bless.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. How about false accusers?
Oh, that's running rapid.
Yeah, if I curled up and died every time somebody accused us or the church or on a personal basis of doing this or that or other. You know, the funny thing is the things that they accuse or do, most of the time, it's what they're guilty of.
Exactly. That's why I'm comparing it to poor Mr. Trump. I feel so sad for him and his family, all the lies and stuff being spun on that man.
Yeah.
Because he's doing good for our country.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know what? I know that the Father is with him because who could stand up
against
everybody against him?
Right? He knows God's with him. He doesn't care about man. He's working for God, not
well,
man.
And let's go with this, too. You know, right now they haven't been able to find anything, and now they're trying to dig up about porn stars or maybe an affair he had back. Well, let me say this about that. You know, while I believe Trump has believed in God, he wasn't preachers, the people that I've talked to, you know, but he made a real committal to God during the election process, and he really gave his heart over. And I have that personal from people that know pastors were right there with him. And so my point is this, is he has repented of those things, so they have no weight now.
And the word says you're only as good as your word, and that man has kept his word in everything he said, so he's a very good man.
Yeah, that's funny. People all so what's he going to do next? I don't know. What did he say?
Yeah.
You know,
right?
I mean, if he said he's going to do, that's probably what he's going to do next, you know. And looking at now, you know, yeah, well, here's something that a lot of people don't understand, and I don't know if you understand this or not. Okay, you heard of the Korean War, right?
Right.
You know, there was a war
called
the Korean War.
Right.
Do you know that the Korean War has never been over with?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, here's the deal, and I just told a young millennial a minute ago about that, Cody. There was a Korean War, and we lost a lot of men, and there was a lot of countries that lost a lot of men in that conflict. Technically, they're not fighting and shooting at each other now. So everybody says, "Whoa, the war is over." You know, no, the war isn't over. They declared a ceasefire.
That means the war's still going. They just agreed not to shoot each other.
Very good. So that's I think that's what I don't know. It's at least over 70 years ago. You know, here's the point. So nobody has been able to stop the Korean War ever.
And Trump did.
Well, now they are in talks right now. North and South Korea are getting in talks to end the Korean War and want to get into talks to actually take nuclear weapons. North Korea wants to disarm. That has never been able to be accomplished with any president or anybody in the whole world to bring that kind of a peace since that war started.
Will that work if one side disarms and the other doesn't? Won't they?
South Korea doesn't have nuclear weapons.
Oh, that's what you mean by disarm, just get rid of the nuclear.
Well, they'll get rid of the nuclear. We do not want North Korea to have nuclear weapons. We don't want any other nation to have them, but South Korea doesn't have nuclear weapons. The only reason but see, that's what America does with a lot of countries. We kind of put our umbrella over them and say, if somebody attacks you nuclear wise, they got to stand up to us.
Okay.
You know, we're the big dog. And that keeps them from having to have a world with more and more nuclear weapons. Theoretically, that's the way it's supposed to work, but it doesn't always work out that way. But, so that's what he is, again, one of his accomplishments that's coming. Now, it hasn't came to full fruition, but all the works are out there right now. And naturally, the liberals are screaming about it.
Oh, why wouldn't they be? It's right. They're going to scream about everything right.
Okay, stop right there because I've got a place that I want to put it. It says, okay, false accusers, incontinent despisers of, okay, it says without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good.
That sounds like a liberal.
And that's what was so revealed by this Trump presidency is that all these things come screaming out of the woodwork. You know, and what are they screaming?
Wait, number four sounds just like them too.
We'll get to it. Right. That's on a different. Let me finish with this one first. Anyway, and so you know they're despisers of those things that are good. So right now they're screaming against. I've almost looked twice and ducked because you know I'm a guy that'll open a door for a woman or an older person or a man. You know, open the door, but you can get ridiculed and in trouble for doing that. You're not.
Here's one for you. Wichita passed an ordinance this year, a law actually, that, you know, some of the poor and homeless stand on the street corners with signs needing help with food or not working. They give them a ticket, and they ticket the person that gives it to them and ticket them for giving it to them.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that sad?
That's real sad. That's real sad. They're trying to discourage people from giving to the poor. They think that it encourages the poor when they should just be helping the poor. Now, that's a situation we're going to get in. After I do this next one, we're going to go back to that because we're going to start to talk about the Wichita Mission Church and what's going on there. So despisers of those are good. So traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And so, you know, people, by being lovers of pleasure, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, you know, people used to give things sacrificially to God, you know. Now, if I got enough money to after I pay for all my pleasures, you know, and go out and do this and buy that and maybe pay on my house, my new house, which there's nothing wrong with having a new house, but you're supposed to give God first, not last. That's my point. But most people don't even give God at the last place. You know, it's last on the list, which also makes it really hard for what we do because, you know, people just do not want to. I don't care what you say. Yeah, there are some people that do, but they want to give to a 501(c) church, which we are not. You know, we're just a church. And, you know, we look like, actually, to those people, we look like the cult down the street that's taking care of the homeless and poor, you know, let alone they're those weirdos that don't keep Sunday, you know, and they're also those weirdos that they don't keep Easter, they don't keep Christmas, and so on and so forth. And so it makes it really, really hard for us to get donations.
Right. Real hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, people are, you know, it's just a situation in our heart. If they put God and put God first, you know, it's also like these people in all these different forums, you know, you'll find them on Facebook and they talk like they know something, and they're so righteous, but they have, you can tell they haven't even read the Bible, you know. You know, in fact, a study was recently done about how much time people spend on news sites or any site, and they basically come back with the conclusion on news sites that people will just read the headline, look at the picture, and then
run with it,
and they'll tell you, they'll act like they know what they're talking about, and they don't, because they didn't even read the whole article, let alone read enough of the article, because headlines are deceiving. You know, that sometimes headlines are sarcastic, which means it means exactly the opposite of what it's trying to put across. And so, you know, that also goes with, you know, the Bible. But anyway, so we'll talk about the mission church some. But I do want to leave this one in. I want to make sure this one is out there. Also, with the same passages of in Timothy, we'll find, you know, that all that live godly in Christ Yeshua, Messiah Yeshua, or Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But we're supposed to continue in the things that we've learned. And the things that we've learned, Mom, is from reading and studying the Bible. And so, you know, I want to implore to the people, you know, let's go back to this. So what's Messiah's branch? And I think that we're actually a pretty good example for other families. Messiah's branch is a church. And, you know, the people that are actually in our really small congregation are treated as family and are family, so to speak. But, you know, first off, if you're in a church, I don't want you to run away from a church. What I want you to do is you need to be a witness to that church. And if you hit a total brick wall and you can't take it, then you have the ability to start your own home church. You don't have to have a building. Just start it in your front room with your family. Pull out your Bible and start reading. And that's what you're supposed to do. And you're also supposed to, you know, so many, and now there's a lot of people that do that, but there is one problem that remains out there, is that a lot forget that they're supposed to take care of the poor, you know. They're supposed to put God's money first. What's God's money supposed to go for?
It's supposed to go into the storehouse of God, which is the church, to help take care of the church's people.
That take care of the poor. It's to spread the gospel and take care of the poor. If you read all through the book of Acts and all that, that's what they use the money for. You know,
if somebody falls in the family or has a crisis, then the church is supposed to be there to help them pull through that crisis.
Right, but you see, it also came about, that's also a government thing, see, because about the same time the Johnson Amendment came up, then welfare started getting bigger and bigger. Well, the church, number one, all of a sudden got this new wealth from the 501c3 that came to them, and they came to a point where, now not all, but most mainstream, they started in taking their money and paying higher wages to the pastors, which I don't have a problem with a pastor earning a wage, but what I have a problem with is in building huge buildings with bowling alleys in it and doing all these programs, but not giving to the poor.
Building an overflow shelter or a homeless shelter where they can help transition them back up on their feet to get their own home.
How about just if every church, the hunger problem, look how many churches there is, say, per se in the city of Wichita. If every church opened their door once or twice a week and did a meal, there wouldn't be anybody hungry.
Well, in Wichita right now, there's you can eat so many different places, nobody should go hungry in Wichita, Kansas.
Anyway, well, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of places that do feed in Wichita nowadays. I will grant you that. There wasn't when we started. There was only us and another person. And we're getting ready to start 19 years. And so, yes, there are some places, but there's still the amount of hunger in Wichita is just crazy. The proof in that is when we open our door, and, you know, we feed a lot of people. We feed people from the neighborhood. Not everybody has access to go, you know, what maybe, like, say, to the Lord's Diner, so many, where it would be about oh, a few miles to walk to the Lord's, two or three miles to walk the Lord's Diner, two or three miles back. But the neighborhoods that those people, the women and children that would have to walk through those neighborhoods to get there.
And they're bad neighborhoods.
Right. And so people, and so it goes back, here's my thing with the church. But there are churches within walking distance
right.
of everybody in the city. If the churches would just open their doors instead of putting a bowling alley in.
Right, and there's like a church in every other block. I mean, in Wichita, there's a church. There's at least five in each neighborhood. So that would, that would solve that problem.
Right, absolutely. And then what about, okay, so that's food. So what about if all the church members, instead of looking around, you know, took their old clothes and also on the same day said, okay, here's a whole bunch of old clothes.
That is, yeah.
That would solve that, and that would help that problem. But you see, it's not that way. People will either hoard them or they'll drop them off. And that's the one that really drives me crazy is the people that donate clothing and then want you to give them I need a tax receipt for that old clothing that I just dropped you off. Really? You know, I mean, it's just ill, you know.
And a lot of times they're not even clean. You can't even put them in the clothes closet.
Right, right. And I mean, you know, but that's where they get the reward. They're not getting a heavenly reward. You know, I can't judge what God will do, but the word says he doesn't. The rewards don't come twice.
Right.
You're supposed to seek your reward in heaven. The best kind of gift is a gift that's given
to someone who you can't get nothing back from.
Right, right. So, okay, so now, you know what, and I know wages and everything are going off across the United States, so we need to talk about it. Are we having we're just overwhelmed with money right now?
No, actually, I'm struggling, really struggling. I have about $700 worth of bills to finish off this month, and then bam, it cost me right about, including all the food and all the gas and all the bills, about $7,000 a month just to operate the mission.
Yeah, and we're running out of deficit.
Right.
Right now.
Yeah, we're in the red.
We're in the red, which means, you know, really, it's been hard to even buy eggs and meat.
And they just went up to $2.49 a dozen. The cheapest ones I found were $2.09 a dozen. It's still 12 sandwiches, but you go making 15 dozen, and that runs into some money when you have to buy the bread, the mustard, the mayonnaise, ketchup, the oil, the spray to spray them, you know. And then you have to buy the napkins, and you have to also buy the dinner and the plates and the cups and the tea and the coffee and the sugar and the salt and the pepper, and it's just a lot of money.
Right, absolutely. Tomorrow, I'm feeding hot dogs instead of eggs.
Well, you're having Bear Rocks for dinner from our lovely donation of Bear Rocks, which I get every Tuesday, and save for 4 weeks for one meal a month. So we do have a Bear Rocks meal every month.
Right. Amen. And you know, we won't name where we get the Bear Rocks from.
No, but they're homemade fresh every day.
We don't want to ruin their blessing, you know, and that's the point. Do they ask for a tax receipt?
Oh, no, never. Don't even want a thank you note. I give them one, but it's at the end of the year, and I just give them a thank you note for donating. I don't, you know, there's no, it's just for personal
right,
thanks
right.
For them helping me, because it helps me. Not only is it helping the Lord and serving his people, but it's helping me with one meal a month, which is anywhere from $50 to $100 that day that I don't have to go out and spend for the dinner.
Okay, I want you to think about this one. If per se that we weren't there in that neighborhood or in which we closed the door, would anybody be hurt from it?
Oh, yes. I can think of three people that live there, two disabled people and a couple others that can't. They couldn't walk to the diner. It's 2 miles there and 2 miles back.
We have
and they can't afford the bus passes because they are, guess what?
Disabled.
Poor, disabled,
well,
living on a fixed income. They can't afford it. So one of the gentlemen goes without food unless he gets it from us.
Right. Amen. And it also goes to the point when there's many more than those, just three. You know, the big thing that we promote that's different, you can ask the police or anybody, the day shelter over there in Wichita is laden with drugs, and women literally get raped in the parking lot.
Oh,
and there's dope deals going outside, gangs going on. Even the police won't even go over there. They say, okay, they're on their own because they didn't want the police to ever come over there.
Didn't somebody get stabbed out front?
Yes. Anyway, So my point is we offer a safe place. And that's what they come for. We offer a safe place of peace. They come and they get their mind off the world. They know that they're not going to be hurt there. They know they can get prayers. They know they can get Bibles. They know they can get something to eat, you know, and their minds are taken off of the street. And so it's a safe environment. And so it would damage a lot of people because I have some of the faces I've seen for almost these 19 years.
Right. There's a few that's been coming from day one, yep.
Right. And some have been, and some, usually once somebody starts to come, unless something elevates them out of the street, they continue to come over and over and over and over.
Even
and over
some
and over.
That get homes and get jobs and still come to eat because they can't afford their rent, their bills, and food, too. So they come and eat twice a week, which saves on their grocery bill.
Right. And that's that goes back to the neighborhood. You see, it's just like the Vietnam veteran that lives across the street, and he has a disabled wife. He comes over and gets two to-go plates.
Right, I know. That was one of the persons I was talking about.
And it would hurt him. And there's others in the neighborhood. But,
and then the little old lady that comes and gets for her grandkids, she gets three plates every Tuesday and every Friday to her two grandkids.
Right. And these same people will pick up clothes out of the clothes closet, and if they have an extra need, they'll bring it to us and ask, you know.
Right.
And usually we're running, you know, I spend down to the last nothing in my pocket.
We spend $400 a month on gasoline for the vehicles to go back and forth.
Right. We live 60 miles away from there.
Right. It takes $20 for each one of the vehicles over and back, $10 over, $10 back. So that's two vehicles.
Right.
A week.
And right now, and we're going to have to wrap this up, but right now, even with my truck, it's taking about $25 worth of gas, and my truck is missing out and not running right.
Right.
And I have no means, I have no means to replace or fix my truck at all whatsoever. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church, folks. Really, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
The heart.
The heart. If you don't wish to help, you're listening to radio, consider a donation for radio airtime. It is not free. And donations is what keeps us on the air. Now, you can donate
online by mailing a check or money order, or you can find the information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Well, you read pretty good. Anyway, again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for airtime. And pray about it if you got some subjects you'd like to hear us talk about, or you know somebody that you'd like to have us on the air, send us an email or call us on the phone and we'll let us know. So pray about it. And also, if you need you folks, I've been looking for ideas this week. If you got any ideas about a way to fundraise, that's what I'm thinking of, way to fundraise, then tell us, you know, because believe me, we've just about tried everything. And you know what? I feel like I got a lot of energy at 62, you know. I could use some young ideas anyway. But remember, there is only one God. And who is he, Mom?
He's the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for all of our repented sins. And he rose 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only the way to the Father is through him.
Yeah, only through him is the way to the Father, Yeshua HaMashiach. Anyway, remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting radio and the Wichita Mission Church. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.